Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? Definition of a team. A group of people working together to achieve a common goal. We talk a lot about teamwork and leadership here, but I often get asked why when diving isn't a team sport. While it's not a traditional team sport, aside from solo divers, and even then they are often part of a team, more on that later, we normally dive with at least one, if not multiple, other people. So by definition, we are a team. The common, often unspoken goal of every dive is to survive in the hostile environment that is underwater. We may have secondary goals such as photography, exploring, or mapping, but primarily, we want to be able to exit the water safely. So how do we develop a team, especially in the short space of time we have on a dive? Several factors come into play. Number one, are we going to be diving with the same people for more than one dive? If we are, then it makes it much easier to start to build ourselves as a team. Doing just one dive with someone barely gives us the chance to get to know them, and is why it can be tricky getting paired up with someone at the last minute. We can still make sure we're at least communicating effectively by doing a briefing. It doesn't have to be one of the buddy pair conducting the briefing. It can be a dive master or instructor, so long as we have a common method of communicating that we both understand. And yes, everyone should know the basic signals, but as far as I know, no one has ever died from being reminded of them. Basic procedures should also be agreed beforehand. What is your turn pressure? When should you begin the ascent to surface or safety stop? And what's the route you plan on taking? Finally, what are the goals of the dive? We've already mentioned surviving, but normally there are others, from just looking around to taking photos, mapping, study or exploration. Realistically, if you're just doing one dive together, then this is probably the most you can do to build your buddy team. A debrief after the dive will help you as individuals learn any lessons, and this doesn't have to be a long formal debrief. The simple questions, what went well and why, and what can I or we improve and how, to either both you and your buddy, or just yourself if your buddy isn't receptive, will give you a framework of things to think about. The fun really comes if you're going to be diving together for longer, pairing up with a stranger on a liverboard for a week. Congratulations. Let the team building commence. Joining a course? Same thing. Team building has picked up negative implications recently, mostly thanks to people being chucked into difficult or unpleasant environments with coaches who hadn't been well trained. The reality is that unless you live and work alone and aren't involved in any other activities, we are all building teams all the time. These teams are normally fluid, changing often. New people join your company or leave. Even the most established teams have to adapt to the people within. Every day everyone has different moods, energy levels, and ability to deal with stresses. When it comes to a short-term team building, which is the most common form in recreational diving, we have to be aware that we are unlikely to build a highly effective team. We simply don't have the time to get to know each other's quirks. Similar to the one dive scenario though, the priority should be on communication. This is where 99% of problems can be solved. If we can at least communicate, then if something isn't happening as we expect, we can find out why and start to understand the other person's mental model. Again, a solid brief and debrief will help with this. A huge part of teamwork is trust. Another reason why teamwork picked up the unfavourable undertone. Trust exercises forced on people who either don't trust each other to begin with or haven't had a chance to even begin building trust. Trust starts by showing that you are competent. This means your dive skills will be judged by your new teammates. You need to show that you are honest. Are you able to follow instructions given to you? If you've been briefed that the max depth of a dive is 30 metres, do you go bombing off down to 40? Finally, you need to show that you are a team player. Selfish people rarely make good teammates. Acts as simple as offering help or allowing others to jump before you help demonstrate that you can be considerate and therefore a more valuable member. The final part of building a short-term team is making sure everyone knows their purpose, aka role clarity. What's your job on the team? If you're on a liverboard for a week, it's likely that you're there to have fun and see new places. That's your role. You also will have other, again, often unspoken roles, helping to make sure your buddy is ready to get in the water, your job, otherwise known as a buddy check. Being familiar with their equipment in case of emergency, again, your job. Knowing the emergency procedures, yep, same again. These may seem obvious, but if we are actually conscious of these roles and the reason why we have them, we're far more likely to do what is needed to have a safe dive. Who hasn't jumped in without their weights before? Or had to wait while our buddy sheepishly climbed the ladder to get theirs? This takes far more time and effort than a quick buddy check, and yet there are still people who mock them as a waste of time. All of these things apply for teams who will be together for longer too. However, be aware that when building a team for a specific purpose, such as a dive centre, research team, or to document a wreck, we are normally far more able to choose the members. In the examples I've given above, they are all teams that are thrown together by circumstances, whether that's a liveaboard, a course, or just a day's diving. Summary. Almost all of us dive in teams, most of the time. Communication is key. We need to be able to understand what the other person is saying. Trust is essential and is built up of competency, honesty, and consideration for others. Finally, we need role clarity. Not just knowing what your role is, but also why you need to do all the things associated with that role. For more information, check out the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.